Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
He is our Savior.
Amen.
Praise His name.
Amen.
All glory belongs to Him. Without Him, we are zero. With Him, we are everything. This is my boss, Effie. So see, she will say something in Greek and I will translate in Japanese. Oh, no, in English.
Okay. Είναι μεγάλο προνόμιο που βρισκόμαστε εδώ μαζί σας.
It's my privilege to be with you.
Είμαστε πολύ ευλογημένοι που έχουμε πραγματικά αυτή την χαρά να γνωρίσουμε όλους εσάς.
It is a very great joy to meet all of you and be with you in this wonderful church.
Και κάθε φορά που σκέφτομαι, όταν πηγαίνω και συναντάω καινούρια άτομα που είναι πιστοί, λέω, να ακόμα κι άλλα αδελφάκια μου που θα είμαι μαζί τους στον ουρανό.
And every time I meet new Christians I never met before, I'm thinking, wow, that's my family in heaven. I'm going to be with them in heaven.
Yes, yes. You're my family. And I belong to you, you belong to me. Yes, yes. We are the family of God. Thank you so much because you invite us. It's a big privilege. Okay, in Greek now. Okay. So, God bless you all. Thank you so much.
I told you he's my boss. She's my boss. Do you want to learn some Greek? It's very easy. Do you respond when something happens from the pulpit? Because in Greece, if we are very interested when we hear something very nice, we are very quiet. But in other congregations, they just respond. They say, yeah, and they're shouting. So, would you respond? Okay, it's very simple. In the English, you say praise, all right? But in Greek, the word praise is doxa.
Doxa.
Come on, all together. It's very easy. Doxa.
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 So you can praise God with this word. Doxa.
Doxa.
In your private time. And so God will understand. You know, Effie's dad, he was 92 years old. And he was so passionate with the word of God. And he loved to worship the Lord. And he will always get, you know, we were a young church, very young guys, playing music very loudly, you know, for elderly people that is a problem. But he enjoyed it. But he had false teeth up and down. But he loved to worship God. So what's how he did it? He got in and he started, doxa, doxa, doxa. But the teeth were going ready to come out. He was going, make them sure and keep going, doxa, doxa. So nothing can stop you from glorifying God, nothing. Even if you have false teeth, you can still say, doxa, and praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. I want to apologize. Actually, thank you, Pastor Young. Thank you, Pastor Daphne. They have treated us like kings. We really appreciate everything you've done for us. Just be here is a high honor for us. Not even in my wildest dreams I would ever dream to come in a place like this. And we are so thrilled. And I want to apologize because my mother language is not English. So I know I have an accent. Everybody has an accent. It would be more easy for me to preach in Greek, but that makes me a little bit, you know, anxious with my English. I'll try to be very simple. So don't misunderstand me. It's because of my language. I make it very simple. Okay. Well, tonight I want to talk to you about the love of Christ. Love is a very weird word. In English. The English people, and I have a lot of friends in England because my brother was married with an English woman. They say love and they mean, under this word, they put everything. But in Greek, we have different words about love. So when we say love, which in Greek is agape, we know what we mean. It's the highest level of love. It's so high, it's so depth, so deep, it's so unique. If I want to say I'm in love with this woman, I will never say agape. I will say είμαι ερωτευμένος, eros, erotas. If I have a good friend, I will say είσαι φίλος, φιλέο, φιλό is the verb. So we express love with different ways. So when we come in the Bible and we read about the love of Christ, first of all, we have to overcome this obstacle of the world. And secondly, we have to overcome the culture. You know, without even realizing what is going on in our lives, the culture influences our understanding about the words of the Bible. Let me give you an example. I suppose, I don't know if you have this custom in Singapore, but because you have been influenced by the English culture, probably you have the same. I was in England and I was talking with a friend of mine and he had a new car. And so I asked him, I said, how much money did you pay for the car? The guy said, it's none of your business. I was offended. That is offensive for a Greek person. Because in Greece, if I buy a new car, I'm expecting you to ask me, how much money did you pay? Because you give me the opportunity to feel proud for myself and my bargain price. I want to show you I'm a good guy. I got the money. I have the car. If you don't ask me, I will be offended. So you see, culture influences us in many, many different ways. It's the same with love. So let's go to the main, the most known chapter of the Bible about love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, then I have become only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it does me no good at all. So let me ask you this, and we will answer the question. Why in a letter like the First Corinthians that Paul deals with problems, specifically with supernatural problems like prophecy, tongues, about serious sin like adultery, why in the middle of this chapter suddenly he puts in this chapter of love? Why did he do that? Every time I read my Bible, I was born again when I was 17. Actually, I say many times, the Lord found me behind the fence. Nobody from my family ever had met Jesus, as far as I know. None of my family. I was the first one, and when I gave my heart to the Lord, they persecuted me because I offended the family. In Greece, we are very family-oriented culture. And if somebody just gets outside of the road, they condemn him. So the first thing I start doing when I start reading my Bible, and I'm still doing it, every time I read something, I always question myself. Why he did that? Why did he write that over here? What he wants, what he means? What's the reason that that thing came suddenly in the middle of this chapter? Let me share you some thoughts about love. First of all, love hurts. How many would agree with that? And actually, love cares. Love costs a lot. And I'm not talking about money, houses, and cars. Love costs a lot, is expensive because demands an openness. Would you agree with me on that? Love demands transparency. And not only that, but actually love is so difficult that makes you feel unsettled. You get scared about love. Why? Because we get used, we love because we want to be loved. But when that doesn't happen, what is going on in our spirits, in our hearts? Things are getting very difficult. Paul, in this chapter of love, at the end of the chapter, writes this. He says, and now three remain: faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Be honest, I have met people that they do excellent with faith. They are very good. I have met guys, they are excellent with hope. I'm not that style of person. But I met some guys, they always hope. They are so optimistic all the time. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? Why do you have so much hope? The world is a mess. But love is different. It's not the same. And actually, I've met brothers and sisters in a service. You can see them prophesy, give a word of knowledge. And as you go out and you meet them in the parking lot, they get angry. They offend you. They speak bad about you. And you think, what's going wrong with this guy? He was under the spirit. He was gifted. And you meet him outside and he's like a monster. I hope you don't have that stuff in Singapore. But you see, as humans, we get very impressed by the gifts of the spirit. We like the supernatural. Everybody follows it. If I had Pastor Young would announce that Pastor Memos puts his hands on people and they all fall down, maybe the place would be packed. I hope not, for that reason. But true love is many things. True love can be very strong and at the same time very painful. Can we have the first, slide, please? We read from John 3:16. We all know the verse. We all know the verse. For God so loved the world, all right? But look, you read, for God so loved the world. But in the Greek text, which says, ούτως γαρ ηγάπησεν ο Θεός. That's Greek, I'm not speaking tongues, all right? Before the verb, the writer put an adjective. Ούτως, it's an adjective. It's a very small word. And this small word, ούτως, reveals many things. And we talk about love. This small word means or actually gives the quantity of love. This is one of the meanings. Could also mean the quality of love. When you say ούτως, could mean quality of love. Could also mean the passion of love. That's how I love you. So passionate. Could also mean and shows the magnitude of love. So huge love, so wonderful love. Could also shows how he loved us, the way you love. He suffered. So you see, just a small word changes the whole meaning. This is the love that the church needs to have as we live in this world. like God shows us about love. He wants us to understand about his love, what he expects us to show to the people outside in the world. But it's not easy at all. It's not easy. There will come times that our love will get in trial. There will be tough times. As a pastor, I know there is no Greek here. I can confess very easily. Pastor Young, I'm sorry. Sometimes I want to send some of my members to heaven very quickly. Boom. But then I go home and I pray. I say, no, I will not send you to heaven. I will leave you on this earth to suffer. Either way, I don't love them. But you see, when you love, love gets bruised very easily. Listen, I have a pain in my back. And my back is bruised. I can take some medicines for my back. I can heal it. But I can't get anything for a bruised heart. Because love brought pain in my heart. So what is the reaction of people? They try to protect the heart. You see, in the physical realm, you have the physical heart. This is a very strong muscle. Very strong. However, God knows it, that it is also sensitive. That's why we have the ribs. We have the sterns. So God protects a strong muscle. To give us the idea how is this in spiritual realm. Because God is at the same time very strong but very sensitive. So he's expecting us to be strong and sensitive at the same time. But how do you face when somebody hurts you? How do you react when somebody does something bad to you? As Christians, we should be at the same time strong and vulnerable. I said it. Vulnerable at the same time. So God is expecting us to be like that. If I fail or lose one of these two, I will fail to show love to the people. I can refuse love. When I lost my father in 1996, I loved my father a lot. He died 60 years old. And I remember when the pain I felt in my heart, it was so strong. And unconsciously I decided, because I was thinking, why I feel that pain? Because I loved him. And I lost him. That's why I have the pain. So how can I escape the next time I have to face a pain? Stop loving. So unconsciously I stop showing love to my wife, to my kids, to my family. For about 8 months I was like a robot. I was bringing money to the family. I was sleeping in my house, feeding my kids, doing everything a father is doing. But as about love, no affection at all. And I thank God for my wife. She came to me and said, look, if you keep treating me and your family like this, we will not end up on the right way. I said, what am I doing? She says, you show no love. I said, I know. I don't want to feel the same pain again. So you see, many Christians behave like robots today. Because love brings pain in our hearts, we avoid to love. We do all the ministry, we do all the job, we do everything that God is expecting us to do. But usually we operate like robots and then we wonder why the Lord is not blessing us, is not adding more souls. And we don't feel the blessing of God in our lives. Don't fail to be like that. If you stop feeling and you operate like a robot, You may function, but you fail to fulfill his mission. You see, grief is a price we pay about our love. That means that many people will come to a point that you are going to have a grief. Don't make the mistake I did. Less pain, no love. Don't do that mistake. But my question is very simple today. Do I have the freedom not to love? Can I choose to close myself and protect my heart? Do I have this freedom to avoid anything that brings pain in my heart? Can we have the second slide, please? Jesus says in John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love and unselfish concern for one another." Why did I choose this verse? Do I have your attention? You know, I'm trying to do something. I know it's difficult, but it will be in Greek. I hope you can get it. I have all the verses over there. You see, in the Greek text, it says like this. «Εν τούτο γνώσατες πάντες ότι εμί μαθητές εστέ, εάν αγάπη έχετε εν αλλήλεις». I pronounce this verb, «έχετε», which is a key word for what I'm going to share with you. That verb, in a simple tense, is the verb «έχω». In English, is «I have». «Έχω». According to the adverb before the verb, there is a different meaning. Greek is a very weird language anyway. Can we have the next slide, please? 2 Corinthians 5:14. I just want to show you that even though we have the same verb in the Greek text, how many different meanings you get. For the love of Christ controls and compels us. All right? In the Greek says, η αγάπη του Χριστού συνέχει ημάς. It's συνέχω. Is the adverb before the verb. One more slide. Luke 8:45. Master, the people are crowding and pushing against you. You know, when they just capture Jesus. In the Greek says, Petros είπε, «Επιστάτε η όχλη συνέχουση και σε αποθλίβωση». Συνέχουση, it's plural, because he talks about a lot of people. And the next slide, Luke 22:63. Now the men who were holding Jesus, and the rest of the verse, in the Greek says, και οι άνδες συνέχοντες αυτόν, it's always the same verb, echo plus the adjective before the verb. And you change the whole meaning. So what do we understand out of all this? When we read in 1 Corinthians that Christ, for the love of Christ compels us, this is the next slide, I think. He means that his love συνέχει, which means there is more emphasis to the verb. When I put the small verb syn plus, gives more emphasis to the verb echo. It is not simply I have, it's more than I have. I have plus. So God's love have all of us, which means plus all of us, together. And we hold each other in that way. Can I have a small show here? Can I have four volume? You always say yes, but he didn't say yes. Are you the boss? Like my wife, okay. I accept that. Can I have 4 volunteers? I will not do anything difficult or dangerous. 2 more. And a sister. Come on. I'm sorry. All right. When the Bible says that God's love compels us, in the Greek is synechi imas. It means this. I have this brother, and he is connected with me. Now, I have him and he has me. And then, this guy comes with me, so he has me and I have him. Can you do the same? Can you do the same? Hold hands like that? So now, we are compelled by his love. We have each other, which means if I am going to fall down, he's holding me. If I cannot walk, they just help me to walk forth, and we help each other. We are so close. Sorry for that, huh? All right. I can go and say, oh, I can smell him. He has a nice perfume. You don't smell so well. But you know what? We are still together. And I will come and whisper, you have to have a bath. But I'm still your friend. You have to call the blood of Jesus to wash you. But we are still together. And we stay together because his love compels us. Amen. His love has us. And we don't know who has who. And if we fall all the church, we come like that. Maybe somebody back there, I cannot touch you. But you know what? We are all united with his love in a way that this body can stand up because we are connected so close that nothing can break this chain, nothing can harm us. And we can show to the world that this is God's love. Amen. Thank you, guys. Wow. Sorry for what I said. I can see people like the signs and the wonders. They just follow signs and wonders. Let me take you to Corinth. Can we have the next slide that says about the temple of Apollo? All right, there it is. That's what you saw. Corinth is a city dedicated to goddess Aphrodite. On the rock on the top, they used to have a temple. However, in the center of the city, you see these columns dedicated to God Apollon. That's his name. An amazing temple. We see only 7 columns today still standing up. Let me tell you some information about this God. Many people do not know who he was. He was God of worship, songs, war, and prophecy. Some people think that this God was just an idol. It was not an idol. It was a devilish personality. And actually, the Greeks have dedicated the most famous oracle of ancient times to this God, Apollo. That was the oracle of Delphi. This is the next slide, please. Delphi. What really happened in this temple? In ancient times, the Greeks, every time they wanted to have a prophecy about the future of the problem they had, they would go over there and offer sacrifices to God Apollo. In this temple, they had some girls. They were chewing some leaves. Some say these leaves were drugs. But they were in the temple, and when they would come out, they would speak in tongues. And the priest would listen to the tongues, and we interpret the tongues and give him the prophecy. So every time somebody wanted to go there, they would hear this supernatural sign speaking in tongues. In Corinth, they were celebrating twice every year God Apollo. And the Corinthians were very used of this supernatural sign of speaking in tongues. You remember the verse we started about love? Paul says, if I speak the tongues of men and of angels, but without love, I am a gong. Gong, how you call it? Gong. So he called the Corinthians gong because they have used the supernatural. They were hearing, speaking in tongues. They would go there for the signs, but without love. That's why they had all these problems among them. That's why they were fighting, and we still fight in Greece, in Corinth. You see, this generational issue doesn't stop. Somebody has to break it. They were so impressed. So he said to the Corinthians, guys, something's not going well. You are Christians now. Because if you love the people, you have to love them before you operate in the spiritual realm. You need to love the people before you sow the supernatural. If you go first for the supernatural, actually you are building your faith, your fame. You are building your career. You are building your name. You are building the ministry. Memos, ministries, and money come in. Sorry, I'm saying, I will not offend anything. I'll try to be very polite. But I know, I will not mention names, but in Greece, we have some big names coming through. And at the end of the day, they were counting money, thousands of euros. Poor people would come for healing, but they saw nothing, or they asked money, and money went in their pockets. Why shall I accept him if he does know who am I? And he does love me, and he doesn't care about me. And actually, do I have a few moments? Can I have five time? Who gives me five minutes? Who gives me? Keep your hands. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. Oh, thank you. I got 45 minutes. I'm sorry. They gave me 45 minutes. All right. Well, that, I'm going to share with you, cost a lot of money, but I give it to you free. All right? The Greek word for Apollon is Apollyon. Keep your notes, and you find it in Revelation chapter 9, 11 verse. They have as king over them the angel of bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he's called Apollyon. Apollyon is a participle of the word apolemy. It's a verb. Meaning to destroy, to perish, or to ruin. So the name of Apollo has the same root and actually sounds almost the same, very identical. And actually, God Apollo was God of light, prophecy, music, but also was God of punishment and pledge. Some scholars say that Apollo is identical with false Christ, Antichrist. He thinks, he persuades people about salvation, but he goes to destruction. And our Jesus is not the same. So you can imagine that how the Corinthians were worshiping this personality and how did he persuade them through signs and wonders. Have you read what Jesus said? In the last days, fire will come out from heaven, and they try to persuade all the Christians that we are from God. Jesus said it very clearly. So Paul says to these guys, You have to love first. And you have to go for love. You remember in Egypt, the magicians did the same miracles like Moses. So don't be surprised with all this stuff. How do we operate the gifts? First and above everything, we must love the person we pray about. We must care about the people we pray about. This is the sign that the world will realize we are His disciples. When we love people. So let us open our hearts. Let us become vulnerable. That one. God is our protection. He's going to cover us. I'll go a little bit out of my notice. What I have written here. You remember in Luke 5, if you go in verses 4 through 10, we have this very beautiful story that Jesus goes to Peter and says, you didn't catch any fishes. Go back to the sea and throw your nets to the other side. Well, Peter has his objections, but finally he did it. And he came out with many fishes. And the Lord says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out in the deep water and lower your nets for a catch. Peter did it, and later on Jesus said to Simon, have no fear, from now on you will be catching men. So when Jesus said to Peter about the net, he was not talking about fishes in the sea. He was talking about people. And the net represent the relationships we have between us. Because when we have a net, we catch fishes. How the net is made? It's made, the fishing net is made from many ropes tied together. If you go for small fishes, you have a very few ropes. If you want to catch big fishes, you have more ropes. But what is going on with the ropes to have a net? Have you ever imagined in your head? You have each rope, it's life, it's one of us. So in order to have a net, each rope is every person, every life has to be connected with the other guy. These ropes are tied together, twisted, connected. Cross lives, we cross each other, and we are tied up so close together. We become compelled, synecho, as I showed you before, and we are so bound together. We create a great net, and this net sometimes may break in some areas, but if we want to keep the fishes that God gives us, we need to have a very strong net. All the lives, all of you, tie together, twist together. Call somebody beside you and be connected with deep, serious love. Not just feelings, but love is dangerous, I know. I know it brings pain, I know that. But we have our God, our protection. How many times the Lord has pain in his heart when he loves people and the people reject him. He showed us the path. This is our call to create a net. And this church has an obligation. And you already do it. You are reaching out nations. How can you hold the nations in your arms? Building a very strong net. With agape, with love, so close together that at the end of the day, Pastor Young, do you have me or do I have you? I don't know. But we are both together. Melvin, do you have me or do I have you? We live so far away, but he's one of my best friends. Every time my phone rings, every time a message comes on WhatsApp, I know he's my friend. And I know if I call him, he's going to respond. There is a net, there is a bounding together. That kind of love I'm talking about. The love of Christ compels us. Sin echi, all of us. Can I pray for you? Lord Jesus Christ, I want to thank you for this church, for these people, for these amazing brothers and sisters. God, I'm so honored to see these faces. I didn't know there are so many brothers and sisters of this side of earth. And I'm so thankful, God. Oh, Lord, I pray over them that your spirit, the spirit of love, brings such a witness in this nation and in all other nations, that they will attract people like fishes, like Peter filled up his boat. And Lord, build a very strong net among them. I know they already are, but they can go better than this. There is no end in the way you love us and the way we can love each other. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for my brothers and sisters. They are not perfect. I am not perfect. But we still accept each other. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, guys.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.